The rest of us will be in lesson 4 of our series. If you wanted to find your place in John 14, we'll start there. I do have a lesson written, and I'm excited about it. But do you remember the first lesson, how we kind of, what we did was give you the lesson afterwards? That's kind of how we're going to handle that today. Just the nature of our lesson, it would kind of ruin some things if you were to look ahead, at least in the beginning. So here's my plan, and we'll kind of see how things go throughout the hour today. But we will start off with no lesson handed out. We won't even hand out a lesson today because most likely we won't make it all the way through this lesson today. And then wherever we stop, I'll print off the lesson next week, and we'll have all the blanks filled in to where we stopped, and then we'll have the blanks start where we started. How's that? Pretty good? Huh? Okay, so yeah, I'm a thinker, so that's the plan. And so we might make it through today, and if we do, if that happens, then what we'll do is we'll get you the lesson next week, both for this and for, and then we'll start lesson 5. Okay, so if you would, find your place, John 14, and we'll read verse 6, if you wouldn't mind to stand. The lesson title today is this. It's lesson 4 of our series, Field Training, and it's this: The Foundation of Sound Reasoning. The Foundation of Sound Reasoning, : What is truth? What is that anyway? What is truth? And we're going to deal with that today, and I'm looking forward to it, kind of in that process of going from a good testimony now in sound reasoning, and then we'll talk about accurate knowledge afterwards. So let's read chapter 14 and verse 6. Now I know what you're thinking. Why is it not sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth? That would be a great verse. Actually, all the verses are great verses, just so you know. But you'll understand why this is the verse we're reading today. Verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is what we call a truth claim. There's no ambiguity here. There's no like, this is what I believe, but whatever you believe is not like that, is it? Very dogmatic in a sense, and rightfully so. Truth claim. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Of course, Jesus speaking. We'll pray, and we'll get into this lesson this morning. I'm looking forward to it. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that we can know truth, and we can know it because of your word. And I pray that you help me, Lord, today, this topic we're going to talk about can be, especially in our day and age, a little bit confused and convoluted. I pray that you help us to leave this morning with clarity and, Lord, with the ability to reason with people based upon the truth of your word. We love you, Christ, and I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Yo. They were. So Brother Tim just said, was that a sermon you listened to? He listened to a sermon. It's in Acts all over. But whenever Christians were referred to, before they were called Christians, remember they were called Christians first in Antioch, before then and even after then, they were referred to as the way. That's how they called them, the way. And the reason is because they said, our way is the way. The only way. And it's not because they're arrogant. It's because it's the truth, you see. But, of course, the world didn't take it that way. They got pretty mad about that.
Like, those are the people who say they have the way.
Yeah, we do. And we'll explain that, why that is, this morning. Okay, we get into our lesson this morning. Brother Tim's distracting me already. It's going to be a good day. All right. So we've made the case that in our series, this field training series, we've made the case that in order to be good ambassadors for Christ, we've said that if you're going to work the field, you're going to be a field worker, you'll be an ambassador for Christ. And if you're going to do that, if you're going to be a good ambassador, then what you need is accurate knowledge, right? Sound reasoning, a good testimony. Accurate knowledge, Sound reasoning, a good testimony. That's really the structure of our series. And logically, that's the order we need them. Okay, we need to know our sovereign. We need to know the message. We need to learn to deliver that message. And then we need to learn how to represent ourselves in our lifestyle when we get to the place he sends us to. And so that's logically the way we need them. But really, we said that practically speaking, it's the other way around, isn't it? The other way around. Practically speaking, as we're training and learning, and as we actually confront our world with the gospel, practically it goes the other way. As we reach people, the first thing they know about us is not what we know in our mind. They don't know our knowledge first. What they know first is what? Our testimony, right? That's the first thing they see. That's the way we represent Christ at the beginning, how we live our life. Yeah. We said last week that a good testimony is the bridge that allows us to reason with people. If we don't have a good testimony, then sound reasoning will mean nothing. And if we don't have a good testimony, then accurate knowledge will really mean nothing. As far as being a good ambassador, I mean, it'll help you out, which is good. But if you want to get this message to the world, you're going to have to start with having a good testimony. As Peter said in our verse we covered last time, that as we have a good testimony, here's what we need. We need to live lives that show hope. We need to show hope to the world by how we live, by our demeanor, by our attitude. If we show anxiety, if we show anger, if we show bitterness, why would they want what we have? And so we need to show hope. We need to show meekness. Literally, that means kindness, gentleness. If you're abrasive, they're not going to talk to you. And they shouldn't. I hope they don't. What? Yeah. If you're an abrasive person, I hope the lost doesn't talk to you. Because if you give them the right message, here's what they'll think. The gospel is for mean people who are mean. I don't want to be around people that like the gospel. You can't be that way. You just say, that's how I am. Here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Stop it. Be different. You can't afford to be that kind of person. You need to be gentle and kind. And the last one was fear. We need to show fear. Now, again, it's not the fear that we think of from the world and fear of somebody who is a tyrant or who is abrasive themselves. We fear God. And our God is loving, isn't he? And our God is good and holy and loves us. And so we fear him in this way. We fear him knowing he's God. And he knows best. And what he says, we're going to do because he's better than us. If he wanted to, he could squash us. But he doesn't because he's God. And he's loving. But he's also God Almighty. And so we take what he says seriously. Right? And fear, the idea here is that we're consistent. We're genuine. We aren't hypocrites. We take this seriously. If the lost in your life view you and see inconsistencies and see that you only follow God when it benefits you, whenever it doesn't ruffle feathers at work or with the family or whatever, if you only follow God if it's good for you, what that communicates to our world is, I don't really believe this. I'm just using this for my own benefit because that's what you're doing. And then the lost is going to say, they don't even actually believe this anyway. Why would I go to them when I need answers? Right? I'm going to go to the one who I made fun of because and yelled at because they wouldn't go to the function on Sunday. I made fun of them. I said in 1 Peter, they will speak evil against you. But whenever they need to know the truth, they'll know you mean business. See? This is our testimony. And so we need to have a good testimony. Hope, meekness, fear. And Peter said, if we live that way, others will ask us to give a reason for that. That's awesome. We don't even have to many times go and force conversations. If we live this way, oftentimes they'll start the conversation. And when they start the conversation, here's what that means. They're ready to reason with you. And that's what we need. We can't help anybody who will not reason with us. If they're being unreasonable, they will never understand the truth of the Bible. They have to be reasonable. And so then now the question is this. Now they're ready to reason with us. We're able to have this open conversation where we're just trying to find out what the truth is here. We're not trying to force anything down their throat. They're not defending themselves, forcing things down our throat. We're just having a reasonable conversation here. Here's the big, huge question. Now what do we do? Okay, you're living a good testimony, and people are noticing. What if they come and ask you? What are you going to do? Right? And so what we need to do then, as Peter said, is be ready always to give an answer to every man. And so what we need to do now is prepare our minds. What we need to learn is how to reason. This is where sound reasoning comes in. If you can't reason with people, you're not ready to give them an answer. You see? And so today we're going to talk about then the foundation of sound reasoning. As we reason with people, here is the basis, truth. We don't reason based off experiences. We don't reason based off emotions. We reason based off of truth. Truth. If we're going to reason with somebody about the truth of the Word of God, then we first have to answer this question and this issue. What even is truth? What is it? You say, Pastor, that's a weird question. You know, 10 years ago, that would have been a weird question. But today, we all know what I'm talking about. What is truth anyway? That's the question of our age. How is that possible? I don't know. We don't have to figure that out. But a lot of our society doesn't even know what truth is. Yeah. Maybe in generations past, this wouldn't have been an issue at all. But in our society today, many, many are very confused about what truth is. And some, and an increasing number of people, are becoming more and more convinced that truth doesn't even exist. There is no real truth. Whatever you think is true for you, and whatever I think is true for me. What even is truth? Okay. And that confusion about truth has affected how people see the truth of our message. Because we proclaim, as we'll talk about probably the next week, maybe this week, that our message is true. We proclaim the Bible is true. But if they don't even know what that means, we're wasting our time. And you say, Pastor, I think you're stretching here. I think that people get it. As we go through this lesson, I think you're going to find out there's a big issue here that we need to talk about. Okay. And so there's been a lot said about this concept, especially today because of where our society is. And so none of this I'm going to say is original to me. I want to make that clear. But even the way that this concept is addressed the way it's addressed, the way it's dealt with, I'm going to borrow a lot of this from a man named Greg Kokel. I just want to give full disclosure here. Now, I'm not going to do exactly what he did, but I'm drawing from him for here, just so you know that. I don't ever want to just take stuff without giving credit. I don't agree with everything he says, not even at all, but I wanted to give credit where credit was due because this is very helpful, okay? So we're going to get right into it. So today, as we talk about truth, what is it? We're going to talk about two kinds of claims. Two kinds of claims. The first claim I'm going to make is this. Are you ready? Pistachio ice cream is delicious. Who thinks that's true? All right. I did not expect that. I love pistachio ice cream. Who thinks that's not true? Now, what's the deal with that? Half of us, that's true. About half of us, that's not true. So the question then is this. How can that same statement be both true and false at the exact same time? Right? First, you need to know this. My statement I just made was not really about pistachio ice cream. Pause. Back. The statement I made really is about me. Actually, what I'm saying is, I think pistachio ice cream is true. That statement is true, whether you like it or not. Whether you agree with it or not, Doesn't matter. I think pistachio ice cream is true. Strange people like Brother Tim, here's a true statement about him. Brother Tim thinks pistachio ice cream is gross. And that's true, even though I think it's a bad truth. I don't like that truth, but it's the truth. But when you just say pistachio ice cream is delicious, that statement can be both true and false. Do you see how this is confusing? Okay. And so when we say something like this, we're saying it's true only for the person speaking, which is me. I'll say this statement. Pistachio ice cream is delicious. That's true for me. I'm the subject. Pistachio ice cream being the object. And so what we call this is subjective truth. I am the subject. I believe pistachio ice cream is delicious. So a subjective truth is true for the subject, the one who believes that, the one who said that. The statement itself can be true and false at the same time if you use two different subjects, like me and Brother Tim. Different subjects, different truth. How are we doing? That's called subjective truth. And really, in a sense, as we kind of explained already, subjective truth really isn't truth at all. The truth undergirding that is, here's two truths. If I believe it's delicious, Brother Tim believes it's not delicious, there's really two truths here. Here are the two truths. I think pistachio ice cream is delicious. That's truth number one. Brother Tim thinks pistachio ice cream is gross. That's truth number two. Are you following this? I know it's early, but this is subjective truth. So if someone said that kind of truth, pistachio ice cream is delicious, it would be weird to say something like this. What's wrong with you? Is there something wrong in your mind? You don't understand? Or let me prove to you why you're wrong. That pistachio ice cream is delicious, you think it's delicious? Let me prove to you that you're wrong. That'd be weird to say, wouldn't it? How would I prove? I go to Brother Tim. Let me prove to you that pistachio ice cream is delicious. How would I prove that? Or you're a bad person because you don't like pistachio ice cream. Now, I will say, we joke like that a lot. And maybe picking Brother Tim's a bad option here because that's exactly what we do all the time. Because he doesn't like cheese, and I think he's a bad person for that. There's a moral issue. But there's really not, right? Technically, if we're being serious, none of us are bothered right now because half of us like pistachio ice cream. And half of us don't like pistachio ice cream, right? Not really bothered. Yeah. If you really, truly did have a problem with that, and you made a huge big deal about that, everyone who doesn't like pistachio ice cream, I'm not going to hang out with them. I'm not going to fellowship with them. We're not going to talk because they have a problem. If you were like that, you would be rightfully so accused of these things, being controlling, being rude, being dogmatic, or honestly, downright crazy. If you were seriously upset about that. Okay. And someone would, if you were to do that and get up in this room and make that claim, someone would rightfully probably say something like this. That is just your preference. And you cannot push your taste on them. And that would be appropriate. In fact, I would probably do that. Are you seeing this? Are you following this? Is any of this kind of sounding familiar to you? Yeah. I hope so. But what if I changed my claim to this? Pistachio ice cream is a medicine that treats diabetes. What if I said that? Is that statement true? Well, how dare you push your truth on me? I think it's true. Now you think I'm crazy. And if I was diabetic, I would be dead and it wouldn't take long. Because insulin does that, not ice cream. Right? So again, this claim is different than the first. This claim is about the object, not the subject. What do you mean? Remember, what's the object again? The object is the ice cream. I should have got some pistachio. Right. imagine this is pistachio ice cream, okay? It needs to be bigger than that. But. And so I'm the subject, yes, the object. When I say pistachio ice cream is delicious, what I'm really saying is I think it's delicious. It doesn't affect that at all. But if I say pistachio ice cream is medicine that cures diabetes, I'm saying something about the object. And you can't disagree with that, or you can disagree with that. That's either right or wrong, what I say about the ice cream. Are we doing all right? Objective truth, subjective truth. If you're ever wondering, objective's the good one, subjective's the bad one. Just in your mind, I get messed up with that sometimes. All right. Objective truth. And so when we say something that's true for the object or not true for the object, we're making an objective truth claim. And that claim has to be right or wrong. Okay. What if you disagreed with that, which I think many of you here do? I hope all of you do disagree that pistachio ice cream is medicine that cures diabetes. If you disagreed with that, even openly, you wouldn't be controlling, you wouldn't be rude, you wouldn't be bigoted, you wouldn't be dogmatic in the bad sense. In fact, you would probably be saying that for my benefit. Like, dude, I don't care how much you think this is good for you, it'll kill you. Right? You're not being rude to point that out, you're being helpful to point that out. Even if it hurts my feelings. Yeah. Because here's the point. All answers to diabetes are not equally correct. There is one right answer here. Not a variety of right answers here that vary depending on everyone's opinions and preference. How are we doing? And so then how do we decide if it's true or not? Well, what we would do, Let's do this. Let's let Brother Tim think that pistachio ice cream is insulin or treatment, because that way we can put him in the bad light and not me. Just kidding. No, we'll put him in the good light. So, okay, what if I say pistachio ice cream is a treatment for diabetes, the medicine that treats diabetes. And Brother Tim says, no, it's not. Okay? How do we know it's true? Do we need to go examine Brother Tim's brain and see if there's something wrong with him or mine? Would we do something with us? No. Here's what we would do to find out if that's true. We would forget about what Brother Tim thinks. We would forget about what Brother Chad thinks. And we would go see if it actually cures it or not. And we would run a study. I hope they wouldn't actually run a study. But the study's been done. Okay? And they would look at it and they would see, does it actually help diabetes or not? And then the answer would be no. And I would be wrong. Brother Tim would be right. And that hurt me to say, even though it's an example I just said. But there you go. Are you following? Yeah, our goal, if we were going to find this out, would not be to share our feelings. Our goal would be to find the correct answer by looking at the evidence. Because this is a pretty important deal. We don't want all the diabetics in our life to start thinking they can just inject this into their veins. So, when I say pistachio ice cream is a medicine that controls diabetes, I'm wrong. Why? Because I've confused two very different kinds of things, ice cream and insulin. I'm trying to make an ice cream claim when I should be making an insulin claim. Are you following this? The ice cream claim is whatever you think is right. The insulin claim is really, there's only one right answer. Are you following that? Okay. I don't get to choose whether or not something treats an illness. I don't get to choose that. Like I get to choose whether or not something is delicious. And so why are we saying all this? Well, obviously, we're not just talking about ice cream, right? Here's what we're saying. There are two different ways for a thing to be true. Subjective truth, ice cream claims. Objective truth, insulin claims. Subjective truths are claims that are true for the subject. Listen, you said, Pastor, you've already said this. I know. I'm repeating myself on purpose, and I'm adding stuff, so pay close attention, okay? Subjective truths are neither right nor wrong. Pistachio ice cream is delicious is neither right nor wrong. They're true and false based on the subject. They are, as our world likes to say, true for you. Whatever you think, that's the truth. They're characterized by things like this. I prefer, or I enjoy, or I feel, or I like. Whenever you say that, the next thing you say is a subjective claim. Because it's based upon how you feel. It's based upon what you prefer. It's based upon what you like, what you enjoy. Objective truths are either right or wrong. Subjective truths are neither right nor wrong. Objective truths are either right or wrong, depending on the object itself. And our feelings, our desires, do nothing to change objective truth. It doesn't really matter what you think or feel about it. It's the truth. Are you following this? They are what they are, regardless of how we feel about them. There's a difference between choosing ice cream and choosing medicine. When choosing ice cream, you can choose what you like. When choosing medicine, you choose what heals. When choosing ice cream, you choose what's true for you. When choosing medicine, you choose what is true. Okay? All right. Crystal clear? Okay, so here's the point. Americans think of God, religion, and morality like they think about ice cream instead of how they think about insulin. They choose religion, they choose ethics, they like according to their tastes. This realization explains a couple of things for us. What we're doing here is waking you up to how America thinks. When you're reasoning with people, this is going to be a problem. You need to understand this. Let's deal with this. Pause. What if they're right? Now I'm going to say an objective truth right here. They're not right. But let's go to fantasy world for a moment. Can we do that? What if they were right? What if moral and religious truth is all subjective? Whatever you think. Whoever you think God is, that's God for you. Whatever you think God says, that's right for you. Whatever you think is right, that's right for you. Whatever you think is wrong, that's wrong for you, but I have different opinions. What if they were right? Well, there could be no conflict then between morality and religion. Right? We wouldn't be able to do that because they'd all be equally true. And this is what we call in our society religious pluralism. Or moral relativism, that it's moral based on what you think. And then the term tolerance, which is really a passive-aggressive term, which we won't talk about today. But that would all be true if all of this was subjective truth and not objective truth. If religious truth was subjective, then saying one religion is true and another religion was false, that wouldn't really make any sense. It wouldn't make any sense at all. It would come off as rude. It would come off as extreme arrogance. Oh, so pistachio ice cream is the only good ice cream. Oh, that's how it would come off. Bigotry would be a part of that. Dogmatism. That would be how it is. If you said something like, you must believe in Jesus, that would sound like you must enjoy the taste of pistachio ice cream. Isn't that exactly how that phrase comes off to our world? How dare you tell me that I have to believe in Jesus? It would be the same thing as if you said, how dare you tell me I have to like pistachio ice cream? It would be ridiculous. That's why they feel the way they do. Or to say, you'll go to hell if you don't like my flavor of ice cream. That's how it feels to them. How are we doing? Here's the problem. The Christian we make an insulin claim. And the people want to change it to an ice cream claim. And in our society, have done that. And they have made the way to heaven an ice cream claim and not an insulin claim. They want to relativize it and say, Christianity, we say Christianity is the truth. And they say, no, that's only your truth. All because of this objective and subjective truth problem. And really what this does is it turns religion into a placebo. You know what a placebo is? Imagine someone who is dealing with diabetes and they took this ice cream. They would feel, and they think it's going to heal me.
Here's a placebo.
And then they would feel good for about 5 minutes, thinking, oh, it's working. I can feel it. And then the truth would settle in, and it wouldn't work out. A placebo is a sugar pill that you think is medicine, so you feel better when you take it, even though it does nothing for you. That's what people think religion is like. And that, if you wonder why people say, I can't believe people would think that about God, that they would say, God is just there to make you feel better. It's not really doing anything for you. The way they got there is because they have said, we all get to heaven however we want. And so if we all get to heaven however we want, then none of the paths really matter. And it's all just something to make us feel better. This is where we are in society, isn't it? Because they made the way to heaven an ice cream claim. Karl Marx said it this way. Religion is the opiate of the masses. This is what they take to feel better about themselves. He didn't believe in God. But those who say they believe in God feel the same way. Why do you go to church? I go to church because it makes me feel better. That's not a good reason to go to church. I go to church because I'm going through a hard time and I need, well, because you believe that what that church teaches is the truth. And you believe that. And you believe the Bible is the truth, however you feel about it. Right? That's why we go to church. That's why we're Christians. Okay, so what is truth? What is truth? We might make it through this today. We'll see. If I point to a random guy in the room, or if I happen to come up here, and I say, your shoe's untied, what would everybody in this auditorium do? Look at his shoes. What would that guy do? He would check. Even though he knows his shoes, maybe. He might be playing a trick on me. He wouldn't say this. That's just your socially constructed view of my shoes. He wouldn't say that. Here's the point. Everybody in this room knows what it takes for my statement to be true. And it's whether his shoes are untied or not. Right? Truth is a statement. Truth is when a statement, idea, or point of view actually corresponds with reality. That's truth. It's when a statement, idea, or point of view actually corresponds with reality. Aristotle said this, if you say that it is, and it is, or you say that it isn't, and it isn't, that's true. This is philosophy. This is what we need, right? If you say that it isn't, and it is, or you say that it is, and it isn't, that's false. Right? Oh, this is deep. And that's what we all mean when we say the word truth in normal conversation. Teacher, my dog ate my homework. Is that true? Well, it is to me. Do you know what a lie is? Truth is the opposite of that. We all know this. But when it comes to this social thinking, big picture, and then has become mixed into that, religion and the way to heaven, for some reason, all of that goes out the window. And it's whatever you feel. Romans 9:1, I'm going to shoot a few verses at you, and again, I'll give this to you next week. Says this, Paul said this, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. 1 Timothy 2:7, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not. The truth is the opposite of the lie. The lie is something that isn't, and you're saying it is. I know, this is hard, but follow. 1 John 2:21, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Sounds like whatever is not the truth is lie. We are of God, 1 John 4:6. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There is the spirit of truth. There is the spirit of error. And whatever is not the spirit of truth is the spirit of error. Okay, so why are you saying all this? Here's our claim. Here's our claim. As we're ambassadors, as we're going to tell our message to the world, our claim is this. Christianity is true. The Word of God is true. And Christians' claims here are not like ice cream. We're not talking about preferences, but it's more like insulin. This is the truth, and by the way, you need it. Here's our claim. God is real. I'm not saying, well, if you think He is, then He's real for you. No, there is a God. He exists. He is real. Human beings are sinners under God's judgment who desperately need God's mercy. That's true. However you feel about that. Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. There is only one way to heaven, and it's faith in Jesus as your Savior. These are true statements that have nothing to do with how we believe or what we think or how we feel. Are you following that? These are true. And anything that's not that is a lie. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." That is, God's word describes the world accurately as it actually is. This isn't just something we tell ourselves to help us live better lives. This is the reality of everybody, not just for me. This is not just Valley Avenue Baptist Church's reality. This is the truth of eternity. This is the truth of the universe. God is real. Humanity has sinned before Him. Humanity, by the way, deserves eternal wrath and hell forever, which is real. And the only way to heaven, the only way to escape God's wrath is Jesus Christ. This is not just something we believe. This is the truth. Now, some might say the Bible never said that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And for me, I'm like, you ever read it? Yeah. But just to be clear, I'll give this to you. More than 100 verses in the Bible that make that claim. We have some that are just that claim. Just say it. Like we read, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you want to go to heaven, you have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Like we said last week, the most important question you'll ever answer is, who is Jesus? If you do not believe He is the Christ, no heaven. Right? And that's not the only verse. There's several that make that specific claim. And then there are some verses that give us reasons why Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's a slew of verses that make this claim. Jesus is the only source of salvation for the world. So in a roundabout way, He's the only way, right? Jesus is the Father's choice for a Savior, and there's no other. There's verses that say that. I'll give this to you later. To reject Jesus is to reject the Father. Verses for that. Verses that say rejecting Jesus brings judgment and wrath. Belief in Jesus rescues you from wrath. There are verses that say many imposters will claim that there are other ways to be saved. There are verses that say there's no other alternative to salvation. There are verses that say all nations need the gospel if they're going to be saved. Verses that say Jesus will judge all mankind on the final day. More than 100 verses, you'll have them right here. If anyone ever says, the Bible doesn't really say that, you can have this, and you'll have it. I would encourage you. I might even make it big enough to put on in your Bible or in your wallet or something. So you have it. The Bible does make that claim. And so again, you can say if you want that we're wrong about that. You can in the world, they can say, you're wrong, Jesus isn't the only way. But what you cannot say, don't make our insulin claim into an ice cream claim. You cannot say that's true for you. That's not the kind of claim we're making. We're making an insulin claim. Are you doing okay? Don't mistake it. We're not saying Jesus is the only way for us. We're saying Jesus is the only way. Period. And so this kind of statement has to be right or wrong. True or untrue. Yeah. There's some problems. We're almost done. And what I'll probably do is print these and make them available to everybody this morning. The problem with that's your truth. When someone says, that's your truth, it sounds like they mean one thing, but really they mean a different thing. They sound like they're saying, that's true for you, but what they really mean, that's not true at all. Like, that's not even true. It's just your belief. It's just your preference. If you think your claim is actually true, then you're wrong, is what they're saying. Are you following that? You say, Jesus is the only way. They say, that's your truth. What they are telling you in a roundabout way is, I don't agree with you, you're wrong. He is not the only way, right? They don't want to say that, but that's what they're saying. You're free to believe it as long as you keep it to yourself, because what you're saying isn't true. It'd be like if someone said, aliens are here somewhere, you know. You can say, well, just keep that to yourself. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what they're doing with that. It's passive-aggressive, isn't it? And they call it tolerance. Here's why the statement, it's your truth, is wrongheaded. When others say, that's your truth, what does that mean? All that means is simply that you believe it, and we already know that. So we're not really making any new statement there. But here's the thing. Truth is not just a belief that we have. It's not just a belief. If I didn't believe it, it would still be true. You see? Simply believing something doesn't make it true. So therefore, your truth is actually nonsense. No one has truth for themselves. When I was in grade school, we had a whole day. I remember the day. Truth versus opinion. Remember? I don't know if they teach that anymore. These statements are true statements. These statements are opinion statements. When they say your truth, that doesn't make any sense. They can say your opinion, and it is. It's my opinion, but it's true. My opinion is that it's true, and I contend my opinion is accurate, which would then make it true. But to say your truth is silly. It's just silly. It's nonsensical. And here's... Okay, I'll get to that in a second. Christians are saying more than we merely believe it. When you go out and talk to the world about the gospel, you're not just saying, here's what I believe. If you say that, you shouldn't say that. Because when you say, here's what I believe, what you're doing is making a subjective claim. And you're opening the door to say, but you can believe however you believe. Not really. We're not saying that we just believe it. We're saying that it is true. We're saying our beliefs are true in an insulin kind of way. And so here's the point for us as ambassadors. We cannot confuse ice cream with insulin. We cannot confuse a subjective claim with an objective claim. Don't relativize the Bible. If you stand for the Word of God today, You're going to be called narrow-minded. You're going to be called arrogant. You're going to be called intolerant. You're going to be called oppressive, promoting hate. They're going to say that. And that's not fun. No one likes that. At least most people don't like that. If you like that, figure that out. But the temptation there, then, is really strong to hide. And just relativize it. But as a Christian, you have to refuse. If we're going to combat this in our culture, if we're going to reason with people, then we can't let them think that it's okay for you to believe whatever you believe. It's not. It's not okay for a diabetic to believe that ice cream is helpful for them. They can't believe that. They'll die. If they believe anything except Jesus is the Christ who died, and He is the only way to heaven. If they believe anything else, and they die today, they will be in hell for eternity. We cannot relativize this. And so we need to refuse to say something like this. That's just my personal belief. It doesn't matter what your personal belief is. If we were talking about ice cream, it would matter what your personal belief is. But we're talking about insulin. We're talking about cure. We're talking about people have a problem. People have an eternal problem. And there's one answer. There's one medicine. And this is not a matter of what I believe or what you believe. This is a matter of the truth. So don't say, that's my personal belief. There's a whole slew of things. That's just what I think. That's how I feel God is. None of that matters. We need to get that out of our mind. There's only one God, and He's only one way, and there's only one answer that's acceptable to Him at the day of judgment. And it's Jesus Christ. You see? Well, I don't believe that baptism saves you. Actually, it doesn't matter if you believe that or not. That doesn't affect truth. Baptism does not save. Well, how do you know that? If you say, is my belief, just my belief, that baptism really has nothing to do with your salvation, they would say something like this. Oh, well, that's nice. I believe it does. They just walk away happy. But if you say, baptism does nothing for your salvation, they will be forced to agree or disagree. And they might say, well, how do you know that? They wouldn't say, why do you think that? Or why do you like that? How do you know? Well, there's one way to know. And the Word of God is truth. You see? And you can tell them. It doesn't matter what you think, what you feel, what you believe. It doesn't matter what they think, what they feel, what they believe. What matters is what is the truth. You see? When we make claims like, that's just my personal belief, we turn Christ into ice cream instead of insulin. And honestly, in the end, we have no message left. So what you're going to need to do is stand with Christ, not with a culture that is super duper confused about the truth. Here's what we need to do. We need to be like Daniel, don't we? Be like Daniel. Good spirit and a strong stand. Now, I want to say that lesson's over. I'll print these for you. There's a reason I didn't start with this lesson. Because if you go out and get all combative and get all, abrasive about this, you lose. What you believe is the truth. You can stand on that. But we have to give that truth with a good testimony. See? We cannot go out there saying, you don't believe Jesus is God. You're wrong. You're a loser. We can't do that. We still have to have hope, meekness, and fear. And so it would change how we address that, wouldn't it? And we'll talk more about that later on, and we're going to give a lot of specific ways that we can do that. But for right now, what we're doing with this first half of the series is just helping you see the need. I hope you've seen the need for a good testimony and that it sets you up to reason with people. This kind of conversation doesn't need to happen until they're ready to reason with you. You don't go to someone cold turkey and say, if you die today, you're going to hell. They don't even know you. You don't have any kind of testimony with them. But if you have developed a good relationship and a good testimony, and they are coming to you for an answer, and now you're able to reason, and we're putting aside what I think, we're putting aside what you think, this isn't between you and me, what is the truth? Then you can say things like that. Are you seeing that? So that's why we started there. And so I hope you're seeing the need for a good testimony. I hope now you're seeing the need for sound reasoning, because our world doesn't think right. They don't think right. I thought about doing a logic lesson. Here are the rules of logic. Okay? I might later. But our world doesn't know how to think. Everyone thinks for them. And the people who think for them don't know how to think. They need to learn how to think. And they're looking at religion wrong. They're looking at heaven wrong. They're looking at their sin problem wrong. And we need to help them reason with that. Say, no, actually what you're doing is kind of saying this is more like ice cream, but really it's more like insulin. And we need to help them through that kind of thing. You see it? So reasoning. And there's more to come with that. We're going to talk next week about some other things. And then you'll see the need for accurate knowledge. We'll talk about that. After we do that, we're going to flesh all of these out. We're going to spend quite a lot of time giving you nuts and bolts and tools for growing in your testimony. Then we'll give you nuts and bolts and tools for growing in reasoning with people. And then we'll give you nuts and bolts and tools for knowing accurate knowledge. Seeing that? But for right now, I hope you're seeing the need for sound reasoning. What is truth anyway? If we're going to help people with that, we might need to know that ourselves. You see, Jesus is the way, the truth, not a truth, the way. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. That's it. Right. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of your word. Thank you for the truth that we find in your word and how solid it is. Such a solid foundation we can stand firm on. But Lord, help us to make that stand with a good spirit. Help us to develop first a love for people and a desire to see them come to the knowledge of the truth. Help us, God, to reason with them as the opportunity arises. Help us to know what your word says. Pray that you would bless this entire process, Lord. We love you. Pray that you bless our time now as we fellowship together and then be with our service to come. Christ in my prayer. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.